Today on Brave, a lesson from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
One of the reasons we don't see the results we see in the West that we're seeing in other countries in the world is because we have too many complacent, apathetic disciples that think that going all in with Jesus is for somebody else out there and not for them. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, he wants all of you and he wants all of you right now. So here's the question, what's hindering your all in with Jesus?
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. One of the biggest questions we can ever ask ourselves is, why am I here? All throughout history, mankind has grappled with the idea of having a greater purpose in this world. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins a series called Mission Critical, where we'll explore the clear, convicting biblical answer for why we're here and where we're meant to be going. And if you miss any of these daily programs, the place to go for all Brave content is our website, bravemedia.online. Now, to kick off this fundamental study, here's Pastor Jeff opening with a word of prayer for his message, Jesus Wants You.
Lord Jesus, I give you all the glory, honor, and praise for what you're going to do. And Lord, we just ask you during this series that we're going to take a look at what you would have for each and every one of us. And God, we pray that through your living and active word, that you would transform us more into the image of your son, that we'd be conformed to his image, and that we would live out the mandates that you have for our life. And for all you're going to do, we give you all honor. And so now for all those who are gathered, who desire to hear the word of the Lord, who will believe what it is that he says, and will by faith put into practice specifically what he shows you, will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen, amen. If you don't know where you're going, it's unlikely that you're ever going to get there. If you don't know why you're going where you're going, it can become really frustrating when times get difficult. And if you don't know how to get to where you're going, it's even more frustrating. All of us have had examples in our lives, individually or collectively, being part of a team or an organization, where we've asked the question, like, why are we here? And what are we doing? And are we going to accomplish anything by being here? I'm so frustrated with this whole situation. I think spiritually we have those times too when it comes to church. What's the purpose of the church? Why did Jesus establish the church? What are we supposed to be doing? And the Bible makes crystal clear what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And we would say, amen, that's the Great Commission. Our job is to reach every person in every nation with the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's the question. What's God's responsibility for me? What's that look like for me individually? I mean, that's a pretty big task. What does Jesus want from me? I've entitled this first message of this series, Mission Critical, Jesus Wants You. When I was entitling this message, I was thinking about those old Uncle Sam posters where he was pointing out, saying, Uncle Sam wants you. I'm here to tell you today on the authority of God's word, Jesus wants you. If you're far from Jesus, he wants you. He wants you to know that he came to this world for you, that he died in your place for all your sins, that he rose from the dead. And by turning from your sin and turning to Christ, you can have life with him both now and forevermore. Jesus wants you. And if you have been born again, and if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to let you know this morning on the authority of his word, Jesus wants you too. Jesus brought you into his family for a specific purpose to remain on mission for him. And this morning we want to take a look at what does that look like for you? What does that mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And what does it mean that Jesus wants you? Because too often in the church, we don't take what we're going to take a look at this morning seriously enough. I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to start today in verse 57. And I'm going to highlight as we go through the end of Luke's gospel all the way through Luke chapter 10, verse 16. We're going to take a look at four ways that Jesus wants to use you. individually, what does Jesus want from you? And I'm going to tell you from the outset, this is a very convicting message. If you've been passive or complacent in your walk with Christ, this will be a hard message for you to hear. But sometimes those are the messages that God uses the most to stir our hearts and rekindle them towards him. So hear the word of the Lord this morning. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And here's some very strong words of Jesus. And the reason these are strong words to us is because we get the gospel mixed up sometimes. I want to be crystal clear on this. The gospel is so simple. It's a gift that God wants to save your soul. You do nothing to earn it. The kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. It is God that shows us our sins so that we can, by faith, trust in him. And the provision we trust in is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead. We do nothing to earn it. It's by grace we've been saved through faith. Simply believing in Jesus, we have eternal life, both now and forevermore. And there's nothing we do to get that. And yet, salvation and discipleship are two sides of the exact same coin. Once we're in the family of God and we become a disciple, then God has requirements for his disciples. And often, especially here in the West, especially in America, there's this huge gap between salvation and discipleship. Almost is preached this way. Yeah, you're saved this way. And if you ever get serious enough about God, then one day you can become his disciple and go all in. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible knows that if you're a disciple of Christ, then there's requirements of you for how to live from the moment you first trust Christ. And it doesn't earn your salvation. It demonstrates that you've been saved and God has requirements for you. And that's why we're taking a look at this text to start out. What does Jesus have to say about those who want to become his followers? And this is the first point I want to make to you today. You say, well, what's Jesus want from me? First is this, Jesus wants you to follow him completely. Jesus wants you to follow him completely. That means full allegiance. That means unreserved. That means when he asks you to do something, you do it. That means your life is completely open to him. Now take a look at these three different men that came up. Two came to him, one Jesus went to. Notice this first guy. First guy came to him, and here's what he said. He said, I will follow you wherever you go. Do you know it's easy to give Jesus Christ lip service and not mean it? Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Sometimes we say it when we're in a desperate situation. Lord, if you get me through this, then I'll do that, right? Sometimes it's easy to mouth that Jesus is Lord without him actually being Lord. So this man comes to Jesus, says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Most of us, being pastors, if somebody came to church, said, Pastor, I'll help you anywhere I can. We would say, great, love that. That's not what Jesus says. He answers a question. He just makes a statement about this question in a really unique way. He says that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you're like, what does that have to do with anything? Here's what he was saying. He was telling this man, you better count the cost. He goes, foxes have holes. They have natural comforts. Birds have nests. They have natural protection. They have conveniences. They have all sorts of things going for them that I don't have. If you're going to follow me, you can't be tied to your comforts, your protections, your conveniences. And by the way, Americans, you can't be tied to your inalienable rights. We can't come to Jesus and say, you owe me this. He was saying, you better count the cost because when you come to me, I'm in charge of everything. That's why the gospel that Jesus presents looks so much different than what we hear here in the West. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, he must, not he could or he might want to, but he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Here's Jesus' invitation to discipleship. Are you willing to come and die for me? That's who I'm looking for. I'm not looking for what you want. I'm not looking for any promises I'm going to give you. Do I have your whole life and have it completely? Will you trust me with everything? That's what discipleship looks like. And he was telling this man who said, I'll do whatever you want. He said, hey, you may want to think about that. The foxes and birds have it better than me. If you're going to follow me, I'm not promising you anything other than an invitation to follow me. Believers should realize that our mission is for the lost, and it takes whatever we can do to reach lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only time we can reach lost people is in time and space, because in heaven, there won't be any lost people anymore. The only people that we'll see will be people that are saved. Another Jesus said to him. So this is the one that Jesus is going to call. Jesus said, follow me. But notice what he said. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now that doesn't seem like that big of a request, does it? I mean, maybe his dad was ailing and about ready to die. Maybe his dad was alive and going to live a couple more years. We don't know. Maybe the funeral was going to take place next week. We don't know. Notice what Jesus says. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Does that sound harsh to anybody else? I mean, it sounds a little harsh. This guy just saying, hey, let me go bury my dad. Then I'll come. And Jesus says, no. Now, I think in the text, here's the words that you need to pay attention to. Notice in verse 59, Lord, permit me first. Those words don't go together. You can't say, Lord, me first. Lord, me first. Hey, Lord, I'll do this, I'll do that, but here's what I need you to do for me first. That's the problem. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It's easy to give Jesus Christ lip service. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's your Lord if you do what the Lord tells you to do. Lord, me first. And I don't know where we put me first. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your stuff. Maybe it's your agenda. Maybe it's what your plans are for your life. Lord, I will, but me first. First, permit me to do that. I'll live my life my way and I'll squeeze you in. And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. Let the dead bury their own dead. Your dad's spiritually dead. Let him go. Spiritually dead people can bury him. But as for you, proclaim the kingdom of God. You say, well, what in the heck does that mean? It means this: if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, believers should focus on things that non-believers can't do. I'm going to say it again. If you're a believer, you should spend your life doing the things that non-believers can't do. What can't non-believers do? Non-believers cannot preach the gospel. Non-believers cannot share the gospel. Non-believers cannot live for the Lord. It means in whatever you choose to do, you put God first. That's why Matthew 6:33 reads, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You say, well, why is that a big deal? Because we don't believe the authority of God's word. We think the Bible's a good book, and we place it alongside other famous quotes. Like, here's one. Confucius said this: choose a job you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Is that biblical? No, it's not. If I was choosing a job I love, this would not have been the job I chose. I want to be a football coach. That's what I want to do. But here's what I learned. There's a lot of non-Christians that can still coach football and coach it really good, right? But a lot of those non-Christian football coaches that I know can't do what I'm doing right now. And what's most important when the world is done? That you had a good football team, or that more people heard about Jesus? What it doesn't mean is that you, if you're a Christian, you have to be a pastor. You can be in any vocation you want. But if you're in that vocation and that vocation keeps you from being your highest and best for Jesus, you're in the wrong vocation. That's why there are Christian football coaches. And the ones who are outspoken about their faith, and God is using them to do great things, because that's a platform for them. I know me. As God and I wrestled over this whole thing, I couldn't coach football and keep my focus on Jesus. My focus would have been on winning football games. There's no question about it. I'm doing what I'm doing because it's something non-Christians can't do. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus was telling this guy. He's like, don't waste your time doing what other non-Christians can do. Do what only you can do as a Christian. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you're on mission for Jesus, your heart will be fulfilled in every way. It means this. Men, some of you are in here, you're called to go serve the Lord. Go do it now. Don't wait. Go serve the Lord. Serve him in every way. And then notice this third guy. Another guy came along and said, I'll follow you, Lord. You're going to see these words again. But first, permit me first again, me first, to say goodbye to those at home. Now, that doesn't sound like that big of a request. I mean, Elijah let Elisha go say goodbye to his family. I just want to tell him bye. Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus was saying? This is an urgent message. Wave to your family from a distance. See, we live in a culture, because God established family and God loves family and family is important to God, we have to realize that marriage is important to God because he established it, and having families is important to God because he established it. But what's more important to God is our personal allegiance to him. If your marriage gets in the way of your personal allegiance to him, it's not a healthy marriage. If your family gets in the way of your personal allegiance to him, it's not a healthy family. Sometimes, because we use words like focus on the family, which is an incredible ministry, and I love that ministry, but we think that that means family first. And once my family has extra time and my family has extra resources and my family feels like we got a little extra, then we'll give to Christ. No, no, no. Christ first. His mission first. Everything about him first. And you, as a leader in your family, man, you bring your wife and your family into that mission, because that's what Jesus Christ called you to do. Jesus doesn't waste any words. It's really interesting, because there's all sorts of people that are trying to follow Jesus on their own terms. Now, here's the rhetorical question. How are you doing as a disciple of Christ? That's the rhetorical question. That's one for the Holy Spirit to show you. I know my first few years of being a Christian, very immature. Very immature. People that would talk like this, I'd be like, those guys are just like religious fanatics. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Why are you beating that drum? You're just being fanatical about all this stuff. What I didn't realize is that, yeah, I was saved, but I wasn't living for the Lord. I wasn't in a position to say this. And here's what God wants all of us to be able to say. My life is in your hands. Wherever you lead me, that's where I go. Whatever job you have for me, that's what I take. Whatever you provide for me, that's what I'm thankful for. My life is yours. When Kim and I moved out here a number of years ago to plant this church, I really believed at the time, and I still do now, that that would be the last move I would make, that God was moving me here to send people out across the world. That's what I believed. I still believe that. But do you know I hold that with an open hand? That if God showed me and my wife clearly that no longer was I to serve in this position, I was to move to another country and share the gospel, I'm gone. I'm going where God wants me to go. I'm not holding on to my life in such a way because God owes me something. I want to be right on the forefront with wherever God has me in whatever season. Can you say that? I'm just telling you, that sounded crazy to me as a young believer. You mean I have to pray about where God wants me to live and I have to pray about who God wants me to marry? I'm like, no, no, you don't have to. God wants you to. God wants you to seek him and say, hey, Lord, where do you want me to live? And how do you want me to steward my resources? And who do you want me to hang out with? And what does it look like? And you begin this ongoing relationship with God so that you know that your life is in his hands and he's using you any way that he wants you. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, that's not for the spiritually mature. That's for everybody that's in the body of Christ. We just don't hear that much in America. We think that's for special people out there. No, God's looking for everybody. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. And for some of you that are saying, you know what, I'll get around to it. You know, one day, you God's put on my heart, I'm going to help the church a little more. One day, I'm going to, you know, serve a little more. One day, I'm going to join that small group. One day, I'm going to help out with my gifts. James 4:17 says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins. In other words, when God begins to put something on your heart in a way in which he wants you to live, when are you supposed to take action? Today, right now, start taking steps in that direction. He says, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. God wants you to go full tilt, straight forward, not looking to the side, not looking behind you. Because when you begin to walk with the Lord, you will very quickly realize not everybody's going to walk with you. Not everybody's going in the same direction. And there's this temptation to be like, why am I out here all by myself, and turn back? Do you remember when God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and got Lot and his family to leave and said, hey, get out of Sodom. And when you get out, keep going. And what? Don't look back. And everybody paid attention except for Lot's wife. And what did she do? She turned around and became a pillar of salt. Why? God doesn't want us looking backwards. He wants us continuing to step forward, advancing the kingdom of God. So here's the thing. Have you counted the cost? Have you stopped making me first statements? Have you become urgent about the gospel? See, God wants you to follow him completely. One of the reasons we don't see the results we see in the West that we're seeing in other countries in the world is because we have too many complacent, apathetic disciples that think that going all in with Jesus is for somebody else out there and not for them. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, he wants all of you and he wants all of you right now. So here's the question. What's hindering your all in with Jesus? That's what God wants. Second thing Jesus wants you to do is this. He wants you to pray for more ministry partners. He wants you to pray for more ministry partners. Notice how the text advances into chapter 10. It says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Now, presumably these 70, some of your versions will say 72, and we could talk about which one is which. It doesn't matter for our purposes here today. It's Jesus sending out fully engaged disciples two by two. It's always good to go on mission with somebody else. If you're going to go share the gospel, take somebody else. It's always good to have somebody praying while you're sharing or have somebody sharing while you're praying. It's great to go out in pairs. Jesus is going to send out these 70. He's going to send them all to the cities that he's about ready to go visit as a precursor for what's to come. Guess what? The church is the precursor for what's to come. Jesus is sending us out because guess what? He's coming back and he's coming back soon. And he wants the world to be ready for his return, which is gonna happen soon. That's what the Bible teaches. And so this is what's going on. So he sends these disciples out, which certainly are fully engaged disciples, or that he wouldn't have gotten done. Luke wouldn't have gotten done telling us what he was looking for. These are people who are all in, who want to do what Jesus wants. And here's what he says to them. He was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. I want you to make note of a couple things. First of all, how big is this harvest? It's ginormous. It's plentiful. Some of us have the false idea because we've been lied to by the devil that God only has a certain group of people that he really wants to save. And look at your friends and look at your family members and look at the people that you know that don't know Christ. And you've been praying about them for a long time and they're not coming to Christ. What's this plentiful thing? No, I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, it's plentiful. There are 7.9 billion plus people in the world. There's over 5 million in Colorado. There's almost 2 million in our city here, most of whom are lost and need Jesus. And here's what he said. The harvest is plentiful. You say, well, Lord, why aren't we seeing more people saved? Because not all of us are living as disciples. It's hard to go share the gospel when you're not living the gospel out.
Convicting message, reminding us of the life-changing power and potential of living out the gospel. You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today's program launches a brand new series called Mission Critical. And if you've missed any part of this first lesson, Jesus Wants You, or you'd simply like to learn more about Pastor Jeff and Brave, visit bravemedia.online. You can also find us on social media. Just log into your account for Facebook, X, or Instagram, search for Brave Church Denver, and connect with our growing online community. Here at Brave, we took the bold step to create this ministry and make our daily Bible teachings widely available to help you grow in your walk of faith. And if you'd like to pay it forward and help others receive the same support, do that right now by making a financial gift to our ministry. You can partner with us and keep these gospel lessons on the air by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail right to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. That's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, check out weekend services at Brave Church. We'd be thrilled to have you this weekend at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and our newest campus in Colorado Springs. And if you're listening from anywhere else, join us through our live stream. You'll find details to attend or stream our weekend services at bravemedia.online. At the bottom of our homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. And that's all of our time for today. I'm glad you've joined us. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Tune in tomorrow for the second part of the message, Jesus Wants You, continuing our series, Mission Critical, next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.